Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, hello, everybody. We welcome you back to Close Up Talk Radio. Nice to have you with us today as we start a new week in the month of August. That will tell you exactly what the situation is and where we are in case you're listening to this on a podcast months from now. In any event, it's a delight to have you back with us. Today, we're going to dip into the world of coaching, the fascinating world of coaching. And this one, I think you're going to find pretty fascinating. This is a unique aspect of coaching that, quite frankly, I'm not familiar with. You might not be familiar with it either. It's Gestalt coaching. Now, that means the parts reflect the whole. It's based on the idea that we're all greater than the sum of our parts. Now, for many years, the term Gestalt has been associated with Gestalt therapy. Our guest today is a pioneer in adapting the Gestalt approach to coaching. Gestalt coaching offers a partnership approach to retooling for work and for life. The question is, how do we evolve? How can we be more adaptable? How do we stay resilient in the face of challenges? Where do we begin? We can help you see what you're blind to or not paying attention to through this form of coaching. Our guest is Dorothy Simonovich. She's based in Toronto and in Beechwood, Ohio. She bounces back and forth between the two, and it's a really delight to have her with us today. She points out that coaching, Gestalt coaching, is a catalyst for what she refers to as new possibilities. The mastery of this coaching requires an awareness intelligence that tracks both self-awareness and client awareness throughout the coaching session, and it enables the coach to be ready to offer the meaningful observation or intervention that moves the client forward, wherever that client wants to go. The most important part of coaching, as you know, is for clients to understand that they are in charge of what they're going to learn. That's the liberating power of being a Gestalt coach. It's all about invitation. What is it you want to learn? How can we support you? How can we create a trustworthy environment? And will you allow me the permission to disrupt you? Dorothy's hope is for her clients to live a life that is choiceful. Pardon me. As she points out, we're living in a world of tremendous change these days, but we have a lot more choices than you realize. If you're not aware, you just can't have the choice. And awareness is a very risky business, but more often we regret missing the opportunity to have done something that really mattered. So from London to Prague, Singapore, and even Azerbaijan, Dorothy has been all over the world teaching and inspiring people to become Gestalt-trained coaches. She's also the author of a book called A Gestalt Coaching Primer, The Path Toward Awareness IQ. Fascinating book published a couple of years ago. It's available, obviously, on Amazon now, perhaps other bookstores as well. We'll talk about the book in a little bit. But let's get into this old world of Gestalt coaching, which you may not have heard of, and it's a new one for me, too. So join me as we learn. Dorothy Simonovich. Dorothy, welcome. I know you're in Toronto this morning. I hope it's a nice day. How are you?
Good morning, Doug. It's a very lovely day. Thank you.
Well, I must tell you, it's a delight to have you with us, and I'm really fascinated to learn more about this subject of Gestalt coaching. Talk to me a little bit. I think it's always interesting to hear, when we talk to coaches, a little bit about their path to becoming a coach and, you know, what they did before they turned into coaching. Tell me what your path to become a Gestalt coach has been. How did you learn about this, and what fascinated you about it? Talk to me about it, okay?
Well, first of all, I really appreciate your lead-in. Just your overview is just such an excellent summary that I just want to say to all the listeners, Doug, that you have really captured the highlights. So just to hold that for a moment. And I think it's a great question you've asked, because the beginning of my story of getting interested in the Gestalt approach, I would say, is that I'm originally from Montreal, Canada, and I was going to be traveling to Cleveland, Ohio, where my husband was doing an internship at the Cleveland Clinic. And one of my colleagues, I used to work at a hospital system, and one of my colleagues said, oh, there's a very famous institute called the Gestalt Institute of Cleveland. You might want to look that up. And when I got to Cleveland and I took clinical psychology, I had been told about this unusual way of working with people that had to do with really being unable to understand the current moment and being able to read people, to understand people just by being with them and seeing how they responded or didn't respond to certain situations, that there was an in-the-moment kind of process-based theory. And that's basically how I got interested in this unusual, invisible, powerful approach called the Gestalt approach. It was an institute in Cleveland. I was then going to graduate school, and I started just taking workshops to understand this mysterious, kind of invisible way of working with people called the Gestalt approach. And that's fascinating, Doug, because I've been doing that now for 35 years. So I've become I became a faculty member in 1988, and then in the 90s, I got this idea that I used to be a therapist, but I thought, wait a second, in the 90s, after I got my PhD in organizational behavior, and I started really looking at people in the workplace, what I realized is that, A, people are not interested in therapy if they're in the workplace, because therapy makes people feel like you've got a problem. However, coaching was being identified in the mid-90s, and it was really the message is, you have a challenge. So it was translated, not you have a problem, you have a challenge. And I, as a coach, I'm going to work as a partner with you to do this thing called coaching. I got very interested in the difference in that language, especially the empowering rather than the stigmatizing quality of it. And, you know, I understood that Gestalt theory was only about 60 years old, which means that it had a lot of power. And that's the time that I got interested in harnessing Gestalt theory with what was still a new phenomenon called coaching. That's why, Doug, even though I don't see myself as this, you know, American pioneer of anything, but I was at that moment of saying Gestalt theory could really help this thing called coaching.
That's really amazing. You kind of fell into the world of coaching right when it really began to break out and become, you know, very, very popular. You were there at the beginning of it almost. Am I right? Wouldn't you put it that way?
You know, it's where people in innovation, the guy who came up with whatever, the moments of it's the moment of aha. And the truth is, I was truly at that moment of aha. In fact, people used to say to me, oh, coaching, it's never going to happen. It's the fad of the month. And I said, no, it's the idea of the moment. And people would say, well, it's not going to have any, legs. It's not going to be robust. And I said, it is going to be robust. It's going to be a place where people are able to learn without a feeling of shame or stigma. I was so, and you know, Doug, the interesting thing about it is, it's hard. I don't feel kind of wise enough to be one of these old German-looking professors that created Harvard, or you see these pictures hanging in the wall. But it's a moment of aha that always gives me a smile on my face because I was so strong about it. So that was in the mid-90s, 96, we did our first Gestalt coaching workshop. Amazingly, 30 people showed up, and then the rest is history. We started doing these workshops first at the Gestalt Institute, and then in the mid, kind of it was 2010, that there was a disruption opportunity. There were some challenges with various entities, and I got the idea then. This is really where I love the idea of disruptive theory, which is now so relevant in our world. We're living through disruption. But I got the idea of co-venturing to teach Gestalt coaching with a group of colleagues of mine in Istanbul. And we are now teaching our Gestalt coaching program, not just in Istanbul, but now because of COVID online. So we have really touched the lives, not just of hundreds of people, but actually of thousands of people. And what's interesting about the Gestalt approach, because you really captured it so brilliantly, I have to tell you. But what's interesting about the Gestalt approach of the parts and the whole, the way that you capture it is from chaos, which is now kind of within chaotic moments, we can look at the parts and we could say, well, what part do we want to focus on to come to an understanding of the whole? From parts, we can create the whole, and from the whole, we can understand the parts. So it turns out that Gestalt coaching and theory are extremely adaptive to these times of disruption and fragmentation. So interestingly enough, I think actually the time has come for Gestalt theory, by the way, and coaching, which actually is in demand worldwide.
Well, you know, coaching has become so big now. There are coaches that will help you in almost any aspect of your life or every aspect of your life, whether it's your personal life, your family life, your business career, you name it. Mm-hmm. Somewhere there is someone who can help you in the form of coaching. What is different about Gestalt coaching from what I would say normal coaching, you know, from executives who have retired after many years in the executive suites are now, you know, coaching young business executives on the way up. How do you describe the difference between this form of coaching? What's the most simple way to explain it?
So all human beings share the feeling of being a human being. Actually, let me start like that. We're all human beings together. The fact that there are differences between us for some people is a problem, for other people is an opportunity. All coaches share, I believe, one main task, and that is to support the client that they're working with. So what coaching is, as opposed to therapy, is more of I partner, if you're my client, I partner with you. I don't tell you. I partner with you. And I partner with you in the understanding that as an equal kind of person in the challenge that you're facing, you have the answer that I'm going to support you to find. So I don't tell you, I don't have power over you, I have partnership with you. That is the essence, really, of coaching. And all coaches have some similarity. Now, of course, you know, there's differences. And you just named a whole bunch of different kind of opportunities, I think. In today's world that is so complex, you know, constantly changing, and there's so many differences, what you can see is what we call niche coaching, and you've named some different niches, parents coaching, ADD coaching, breath coaching, executive coaching, on and on. What the Gestalt approach is understood for is a very powerful here and now approach to working with you. So rather than needing history about you, Gestalt is based on the idea of awareness. We use awareness. And so Gestalt coach is really identifies themselves as being an awareness agent. I'm going to look at you to notice what's going on with you. At the same moment, I'm also going to notice what's going on with me, because what's going on with me as I sit with you, maybe a reflection of something I'm picking up. So sometimes I'll meet a client, and what I'll find myself is maybe not breathing deeply. And if I start paying attention to that, and I check sometimes with the client, I'll notice the client isn't breathing very deeply. You know, and I might say, okay, let's take a breath together. I notice that you're not breathing very much because I'm not breathing very much. So I'll use myself as an awareness instrument of myself. I will track what's going on with the client. And what the Gestalt approach is very famous for understanding is to appreciate the data of the moment, reading what's going on now with you, with me, and also what seems important to you, what seems to be something that you're even avoiding talking about, what you say is the challenge, and what your kind of nonverbal say is the challenge. So this is, again, the parts and the whole. Very often clients come to us and say, I want to talk to you about this issue I have with authority. You know, I can't seem to advance because I'm afraid of people with authority. I seem to get intimidated. It's kind of a classic challenge. But as we sit with these people who say this one problem, what we notice in them is that they seem to be hesitating and not really, I say, well, what's going on with you now? well, I'm just feeling uncomfortable. And what is that about? I am just uncomfortable. And where is it that you notice you're uncomfortable? Well, I'm uncomfortable sharing myself. So it's not the idea of authority that's the issue. It's the idea of feeling comfortable with themselves and less and they're always self-conscious, that they don't feel perhaps as good as other people. So interestingly enough, we use the Gestalt approach kind of like a discovery process. What's really going on that we can find the data of the moment? And sometimes the data of the moment is what you are thinking that's different than what you're saying, or what you're feeling that's different than what you're actually showing, or what you're talking about that's really different than what you're not, that what you don't want to talk about. So we say that we work with resistance. Resistance is also something that people don't know how to work with, and yet in our approach, we think that resistance is there for a reason. So just imagine, Doug, you know, people that go into space, they know that the idea of gravity makes them weightless, right? And one of the consequences, of gravity is when they come back to Earth, they are more to be gravity-less. They are more prone to bone disorders. So what they've discovered is resistance as a form of gravity is critical for keeping your bones strong. So in the same way, what we've learned over time to say yes to or no to helps us move forward in our life. But sometimes when a person is, let's say, 30 or 35, they find themselves in a position where they have to use themselves differently, and their past patterns of what they said no to or yes to have to be changed. The person who wants to become a better leader maybe has to find themselves being more expressive, and they didn't grow up being expressive. They didn't really grow up sharing themselves. They're uncomfortable looking too warm. They don't know if it's going to be okay. And that becomes the issue that we offer coaching in. So the Gestalt approach works with the cognitive issues, the emotional issues, the physical issues, how people stand in the world also communicates a message of who they are in the world. And so if you say, well, what is the Gestalt approach? Again, all the different parts of who we are have data into the identity of what we are. And any one of them is the beginning of a roadmap of how to work with you towards your possible future.
That's very, very fascinating. I'm intrigued to know what kind of clients come to you for coaching. I know you train coaches. You're a master coach yourself. But talk to me a little bit about the individuals that have sought you out for your coaching abilities. Give me an idea of what they come to you, what they're looking for. How would you answer that?
Well, first of all, thank you. It's the perfect question. I mean, so I would just say as a mentor coach, as a coach trainer of other coaches, I like to say if we can't answer that question, we shouldn't be offering workshops. So it's a growth industry. Yeah, absolutely. You know, on the ICF website, there's somebody who wrote an article that said coaching is now a $20 billion industry. I really kid you not. That's actually a recent kind of figure. And at the same time, I always sit with, well, what is the accountability? You know, what really makes coaching worthwhile? Worth the effort, I should say, not worthwhile, worth the effort. So people come to me in all sorts of moments. Maybe they are at a stuck point in their lives. They want to have a career change, but they're not sure of what it is. Sometimes it's like, I need a new vision. I just feel stuck. I don't feel as excited about my job or even my life as I used to be. And they may even be calling it kind of a momentary, kind of almost like the French have a great word. It's called ennui. It's called a little bit of boredom. And when people are feeling that, they've stopped really giving themselves this kind of, what's my appetite of life? When you're not sure what it is that you really want to be trying hard for, it's a good time to say, what is it that really, in English, we'd say, what turns me on for living? And I think, by the way, this terrible time of COVID, for many has been this moment of, okay, we're just living through something really awful. what is it when I get back to trying again that I really want to be doing that is going to be worth it? Many people are asking that question. Or it may be, I mean, this is why there's so many different kinds of coaching, I have to say, Doug. So, or maybe someone, I know years ago when I was coming up through my challenges as a woman, I was never clear about why anyone would have a problem with me. No, I thought I was like a frisky little horse, you know, like I was always happy to try things. And over in my early years, what I really realized was, oh, I'm from Montreal, you know, I'm female, and I kind of want to have leadership and power. And, you know, that carries a certain amount of interpersonal charge and risk. And I had to learn about my presence. And very often people come to me because they say, you know, I have all these degrees, I did all this training, and I have no idea why people react to me the way they react to me. So we do what I call presence-based coaching, where we really kind of create little scenarios, and I say, okay, this really happened to you. How do you think people are viewing you? And in a very safe environment, and when I say safe, I mean coaching really does require, I call it sacred space. We know that we're in a safe place, that you could say anything, and we're not going to have a judgment of shame, because, by the way, if there's anything high performers can't stand, it's to be shamed, myself included. So it's going to be a safe place where we can present these things that we don't talk to other people about. And by the way, even very smart people, and this is what I think coaching attracts, very smart people who don't talk about the most delicate issues to anyone because you don't want to look inadequate, or you don't want to feel shamed, or you don't want people to know that you have these self-doubts. So we create these safe places to look at what's the presence that you may be evoking or provoking, and also, is that what you want? So we look at presence-based coaching, or there may be some real challenges. People come to me because they may have stuckness either with a friend or a life partner, or just a life partner to be stuck with is one challenge, very serious. But if you're working in a situation and you're very afraid of how to speak to a subordinate or your boss, a superior, you will feel stuck a lot and actually frustrated a lot and need a safe place to go, okay, let me have, well, here's what I call a reality check with a coach to review this and let's see what my options are. And so we will have in coaching, you know, kind of create scenarios for people to look at these stuck places that they can't do on their own, to get another perspective. One of my colleagues that I work with that I love very much really talks about coaching is a very important place to be able to shift your perspective. You know, Wayne Dyer was so brilliant. He was an American thinker, and people loved him dearly. He's unfortunately gone. He used to say, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. You didn't change anything. You changed the way you look at things. And so often in today's world, people come in and say, oh, they're terrible. And you say, really? And then as you work with them, you say to them, what is it about that person you may not be seeing that might be, that if you could see that, well, what would happen? Or they say, oh, I didn't realize they're dealing with a health issue, or they're dealing sickness in the family, things that they may not have known. And then you say, okay, how do you look at them now? Or you could say to them, if you were them, how do you think they're looking at you? And very often people can't even begin to take on the perspective of another person. And you know, Doug, in today's world, here's the interesting thing. In today's world of diversity, and everyone's talking about diversity. Well, diversity is a wonderful opportunity, but it is risky business unless we are willing to take on the perspective of another person and see us through their eyes. Because if you can't do that, how can you see them the way that they deserve to be seen? So we will, in this Gestalt coaching, we will create these. Okay, let's sit down. If you could imagine yourself looking at through their eyes, seeing you or seeing the situation, what do you think you'd see? So we create learning experiences to review stuck places, to review authority issues, to review vision issues, to review lost dreams. Sometimes people come and they say, I just have to come talk to you because I have an emotion that's just not going away. I just feel lost. And we will sit and talk about the loss. You know, Doug, in today's world, you know, a few years ago, I lost my mother. I adored my mother. But what I noticed, I love her. She's with me every day in my own heart and mind. But what I noticed is how many people couldn't bear hearing that, you know, I'm still engaged with the loss of my mother. People would say the craziest things to me. And I realized, oh, our culture, absolutely. I know one person said, Dorothy, people get old and die. You should accept that.
Wow.
So I realized, absolutely. I just want to say one thing. So what I realized is that coaching provides, and Gestalt coaching provides a safe place to creatively explore many issues that on your own you may not. And I'd say to you, Doug, it's the creativity of the Gestalt approach. It's the visceral experiential engagement. Very often people say, I was not aware. I don't know if you remember Johnny Carson. He was a great talker, talk show host of the 90s, the 80s.
I think we all remember Johnny Carson. That's for sure.
I loved him, loved him, loved him. Johnny Carson used to say this one line, and he was so brilliant. He used to say like this. He used to say, I was not aware of that. You know? I was
correct.
Not aware of that.
Right.
And you know, Doug, there is a mouthful of brilliance in that one statement. So often people say,
you're right.
Yeah. What I was not aware of, here's the hidden thing. If I'm not aware, I'm not responsible. And so many people, when they say, I was not aware of that, they give themselves an out. But on the other hand, if they were aware of it and they didn't use it, what do they get? Regret. And, you know, Doug, we work with both sides.
Dorothy, let me ask you a question. We're rapidly running out of time here. I had a lot of questions I wanted to ask you about. I'm amazed by the fact that you're doing these coaching programs, obviously, in Toronto. You're in Toronto right now. You also are based in Beechwood, Ohio. But you do this in Istanbul, Turkey. As well,
I do.
I do. Why Istanbul of all places in the world?
Well, I think the short answer is I was lucky, and the longer answer is that there were circumstances that made me co-venture with colleagues of mine who had been my students in the States, and I had done workshops in Istanbul. I kind of liked it there. I had discovered a community of wonderful thinkers, and I liked the idea of being global. The interesting thing, Doug, that I had not anticipated was how working across the world opened up the entire world to me and also made me really realize how small our world is. And what I discovered is that my work in Istanbul has made me appreciate life in America and Canada much more. We have the technology in Canada and America that is brilliant, but I'll tell you what we could use more of that I have discovered in Istanbul: interpersonal connection and community. And that have I really discovered in my work in Istanbul. If I ask for a favor, 20 people will respond in Istanbul. I won't even have to ask again.
That is great. Right? Dorothy, listen, we're running out of time here. I want to point out, number one, you're coming back next week at this same time, which I think is great because we can get a lot more into this. You'll be a guest back on Close Up Talk Radio next week, August 9th, same time. I want to point out you've got a great website. It's gestaltcoachingworks.com. Gestaltcoachingworks.com. If you go to that website, you'll learn all about Dorothy's background, what she does, and how it works, and how to get in touch with her, even for that matter. And Gestalt is Gestalt, coachingworks.com. And also, you are the author of a fabulous book called A Gestalt Coaching Primer, The Path Towards Awareness IQ. We'll have to get into that more next week, Dorothy. The book is available on Amazon, and I presume Barnes & Noble and other stores as well. Would that be right?
Yes, and I'm getting it reissued within 2 months. So thank you so
good
much
for
mentioning it.
Well, listen, you're very welcome. I wish we had more time today, but we'll just have to dig deeper into this whole subject next week when you return. Dorothy, thank you so much for being with us. Our guest has been Dorothy Stamenovich, and she will return next week. Thank you, Dorothy. Talk to you next week, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit CloseUpTelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
I'm Doug Llewellyn. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye.